Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
We have made it to Friday here on the End of the Bench. Welcome in, everybody, to the First United Bank Studios. We'll take you all the way up until noon, where we'll hand you off to the bottom line. And then move through the day with Tech Talk as we go live here at the Raymar Complex in downtown Lubbock, Texas, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Taylor Beatles was in for the first 4 days of this week. His choice is on some kind of sojourn. I don't know exactly what's going on with Woodman, but let's fire him to open up the show. Please, Lucas, be ready with your fingers today. You're going to have to hit that mouse a bunch.
What we've done there with choice, now you fire him right away because of accountability.
My dad actually quoted that back to me in a conversation yesterday. Garrett Luff, Little.com is in. What's up, Garrett?
What's up, Jeff? I hope I do not get fired.
You will not get fired.
Good.
I don't think so. I
mean, I'll do my best.
You have 2 hours and 56 minutes left. I think you can handle it.
Four minutes in. Made it so far.
Oh, man. The educator extraordinaire and the host of the Coors Light postgame show. He's been tuning up for that because it is coming. It is around the corner with Texas Tech football and the reaction show. Mr. Negative is in the house. Yes. You adore that moniker.
I would like something like the Earl of Realism.
The Earl.
Or the Duke of Realism. I don't
know. Of Realism.
Some royal title related to being realistic about all the things Texas Tech sports.
Yes.
Which would quantify maybe 5% of the fan base, I would say, would actually join me in that endeavor.
The Earl of Realism. I love it. You may have just got, that may be the one that I use the most now.
Yeah, we don't dabble in that real well. But I mean, that's not just Tech fans.
No, gosh, no. I mean, but my favorite thing to do, I think, college football related, is listen to the Colin show in Oklahoma City after the University of Oklahoma loses a football game.
Is that the sports animal?
The sports animal.
Yes, that is
WWLS.
Is pretty classic take in, and then so is texags.com.
Just
I mean, it doesn't really matter if they've won or lost, but
well,
particularly after a loss,
lately
it's
had
epic
a lot of
entertainment.
Losses, so you've had a lot of that going on. It's more of a rarity, it seems, with OU, but you got to take advantage of that when they lose. I mean, they're all just hammered calling in and talking to those guys. And in general, I love post-game reaction radio. And I'll tell you that a lot of my style, as far as this goes, which I really never thought I'd do much talk, is based on what was the Morning Animals in the early 2000s, and all they did was cut up and have fun and try to entertain, and that's pretty much what. I hope I entertain more than give you sports knowledge, I'll be honest. I'm going to give you my opinions, but I hope I'm known more for firing choice, let's put it that way. How close are we getting here to completely hooked up with school? August 1st?
Yeah, August 1st, pretty much all the non-teacher personnel will be in the building. And then our teachers will show up on the 7th, I believe. So we're
first
in
day?
It.
When's first day?
16th for Lubbock ISD. I think our friends to the south and west are joining us about the same time, I'm pretty sure.
Sounds right. I think you said, I think it's 17.
You got an extra day?
I think.
Are you to the west or the south?
West.
I can't remember. Okay. Okay. Your team blue and yellow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
That's 2 days, 3 days. I think most people agree it's kind of a sweet spot to come back in the middle of the week and kind of get all the first of the year junk out of the way, and then you start the next full week with hitting the ground running and regular speed. But I kind of like that little pocket of how we've been doing it.
When the whole family was living at the Clarion, rest in peace, Cameron went to Waters.
Yeah, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which was just down the street from the Clarion, RIP.
Mm-hmm.
And then our only Lubbock place that we've lived, besides Clarion, that's where we're still at. So, you know, out there west.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Out by Upland Heights.
I figure you're going to see an uptick in mall walking and supply aisle walking this weekend. I don't know when tax-free weekend is. I just go into a hole on that weekend.
It's not this weekend, but the next.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I'm...
Because this weekend in Oklahoma...
I will not be participating in life that weekend.
Just hold up inside Casa de Luft?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Luft's in. Get your questions in for him on the Exploring Center chat line. You can do that through the 100.7 The Score mobile app. The Visual Edge IT hotline is 806-771-0973. If you just feel like having a Coors Light post-game show type feel to today, you can give us a shout.
I need some scrimmage time here. You know, I need to get my legs a little bit loose, get my response time up. So call us.
Call us
and complain about anything you want.
There's something to that scrimmage time, because with basketball, I always used to get an exhibition, and we always used to do it on the radio. When I got here, they didn't put the exhibitions on the radio, and now the exhibitions have turned into secret scrimmages.
Yeah, the
so you
dark web basketball.
Dark web, yeah, where Jeff Goodman tells you where they scrimmaged afterwards. Yeah. With this conference realignment, I'm just saying I would like an exhibition to put on the air, so I've got a little bit of scrimmage time before you go, here's your hour-long pregame show. Make sure you line it up perfectly so you can... Timing's a big issue with an hour-long pregame show and trying to get it right. I will say this. When you see reports of conference realignment, these reports seem to be accurate. We see rumors across the Twitter sphere, the X sphere, I guess. Half of it seems like it's true sometimes, but when you get Mandel and you get, who else is a big newsbreaker when it comes to
football? There's been, I don't even know.
Is it Brett McMurphy?
Yeah.
Yes. And then, which he is way too easy of a, because his picture on all of his social media is so, like, kind of nerded out. There's so many spam accounts with him that you got to really be careful.
Oh, I've been duped.
In fact, I've done that on the radio right here.
Yes, you have. That's
I might have been
account.
With you.
It was.
Yeah.
That's a fake account, Garrett.
Yeah, yeah. Watch out for that one.
It's got me, though, too, though. I mean, they're so alike that there's that one little thing that's different. And sometimes you get duped. But we've seen these reports come out, and then all of a sudden, yesterday, Colorado issues its own release. A couple days is all it took for it to be official. So the reporting on these, when it comes to even all the way back to OU and Texas going to the SEC, we heard that as a rumor one morning. And then by the afternoon, truth.
How about your marks, though? Well, it was golden. Golden press release. I was a fan.
They're back.
That's it. There you go.
We'll have headlines coming up. We got Luft all the way up until noon. Keep them coming on the Ace Flooring Center chat line. Back for more after this.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's time for the headlines here on 100.7 The Score. No baseball yesterday for the Rangers and the Astros. Remember, the Rangers are two games in front. They have been leading the West now for how many days, Garrett Luft? Consecutive.
Consecutive days? I mean, It's been since the start, right? Pretty much. I'm going to go with 94.
80.
Ah, I was pretty close.
80 days of being in first place, and with that win last time out, they are able to hold that because the Astros would have tied them if they would have swept them. Now we're on to today, Friday, the 28th, and it'll be Astros at the Rays at 6:40 right here on The Score, and at 8:15, the Rangers are at the Padres. on Double T 97.3. Some winners yesterday. Angels swept Detroit with that trade. Do you think the Angels get back rolling here? And
I mean, if history is any evidence, no. I don't think so. But it's clear what they're doing, which is telling Shohei, hey, we really do want to win, and we want to win now, Shohei. And this is just the beginning. But the Angels' methods of paying big money to superstars have not panned out.
No.
So we'll see if trading for, you know, high middle guys, I guess is what you might call them, mid-major stars, will pan out. And I feel like, you know, college basketball analogy, they're kind of picking up the Wichita States and the Daytons of the universe here. I don't know if it'll mean anything to them, but I don't think so. I think they're getting to a wild card, but that's a little bit of face time with the national scene and really the international scene for Ohtani in the postseason if they can get there. But I don't feel like that team is still built to advance even to the ALCS.
We'll see what happens when they get Trout back.
That's true.
I think there's about 2 weeks left on that. Lucas and I were punting that around yesterday because it was supposed to be 6 weeks with the hamate, and I think we're on week four. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of injuries, this is a hold your breath. Oh, my goodness. Might change the entire NFL landscape of things type situation yesterday in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow carted off the field during Thursday's practice with an injury to his right calf. That's the second player we've seen this week. One with the Cowboys, now one with the Bengals, get carted off. And this was a non-contact injury. And apparently, though, just a calf strain, so he should be fine. But anytime you get the cart involved, you're like, geez, this is going to be the end of this guy's season. Doesn't look like that'll be the case for Joe Burrow. But like, if something like that were to happen, and it would be a season-ending injury, to a guy like that, that would change the entire scope, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I forgot about just reading the rest of that article, how he's had all kinds of weird August, July type issues over time. I forgot about the ruptured appendix that he had way back when. And just he's not a fan of training camp, I guess, and whether by purpose or not.
To survive the season, just not training camp.
Yeah, that's a major problem. And then, yeah, he never really got in after he tore ligaments in his leg. So, I mean, yeah, it's a rough time of year for him for whatever reason.
Let me read you this quote from Colorado Athletic Director Rick George and see what you think about this, because this seems to me to be a complete lie. Of course, Colorado says yesterday from their mouths that after this year, popping back over to the Big 12, they're going to get an average of $31.7 million. Brett Yormark says you guys can get a full share if you make this move. Now, for me, and we'll get into this further, it's one or three more schools, and Brett McMurphy did say that as well. It's not just me saying that, obviously, but if you're looking at numbers of other conferences, you can see one to get to 14 or three to get to 16. But here's the quote. Let me state up front that this move was not just based on money or finances. A decision this big has a lot more to do than just money, end quote. That's from Rick George, the Colorado Athletic Director. It's all about the money, right?
I, if you give the benefit of the doubt to that kind of quote, Colorado's sort of in the middle, I would say, in the Pac-12 in terms of they do have some of the academic arrogance and the certainly large chunk of their student base and their alumni base who probably don't care a whole lot about athletics. But they have far more people that are invested in that realm than a Cal or a Stanford in those places. And so I would argue that an alumni base might have been pining quite a while for the traditional rivalries that it's been missing, some of those Big Eight opportunities that it's missed. Now, that said, I mean, Oklahoma's gone, Nebraska's gone, you know, your biggest real foes there in terms of rivalry aren't going to be around for you to come back to. But if I was a Colorado fan, I think I would be saying, okay, I'm ready to get back to a place where sports matters, and with schools that, that at least we have some element of history with, but because they've never gotten traction out there. I mean, I don't feel like they've... Colorado and Utah were sort of bedfellows that never... I mean, you know, we're in the mountains. Okay, what else do we have in common? Why do we hate each other? Colorado folks don't care enough to hate anybody. I just think they had a bad fit out there from the beginning. And I don't know that they have a good fit in the Big 12 either.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably an element of truth to that comment. But if the money wasn't there, it wouldn't matter. So I guess that's really, to say that, you could have added one more line and said, however, if we weren't being given the full share, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And that would also absolutely have to be true, I would think.
He says, we believe the benefits far outweigh the cost for the move into the Big 12 Conference. Because college sports evolve, so do conferences. It's our responsibility to put CU in a position of strength for the future. And as an AD, conference realignment is always something that we're looking at. I feel strongly that today's decision positions the University of Colorado for years to come. I also saw a report that George Kliavkov said to San Diego State, UNLV, two other schools.
Fresno, maybe.
Maybe. To be on standby. That, you know, if you look back to the Larry Scott years and think, well, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State weren't good fits or good enough to invite or good enough to even really get the ball rolling on a conversation that would be maybe opening possibilities to grab those schools. None of those were fits, but San Diego State's a fit. Okay. You know, those guys, they deserve what they get. Wildly, and I don't care what they get.
Wildly different circumstances, but you're right. Like, this is what you didn't want. Now this is what you get. I don't know. I think that the other factor in this that I still don't think has been quantified well, I'm sure someone's tried to do it, and I just haven't found it on the interwebs, but the value in streaming for an institution versus the value in network broadcasting, because, okay, you get Northern California geographically, and you get a decent-sized alumni base from Stanford and from Cal, but as far as people who are going to actually plug in the internet, flip over to wherever and find the website to stream a Cal or Stanford game, there's not very many of them.
No, there's not.
Because they don't care.
They don't.
And unless they're really good and bring some relevance against a really strong team like USC, Washington, some other name nationally, no one's going to pick up that streaming either. Whereas, you know, the lost people in all this, like Oregon State, Washington State, maybe to some element the Arizona schools, they might not have the major metropolitan pickup of geography to help them, but there's a huge chunk of their alumni bases, which are fairly large in their states and are spread out around the country, who will make sure that they are streaming when it's time to watch their team.
The Oregon States, the Washington States, they feel exactly like Kansas State and Kansas and Iowa State did. I mean, they had newspaper headlines ready to print, like, this is the death of the Big 12, and therefore we don't know if Kansas is going to be in the Big East, if K-State's going to go to the Mountain West. That could have been really the death of those athletic programs. The conference saves itself, moves on, stays together. Now OU and Texas move on. They thought that would kill the Big 12. They'd be able to get off scot-free and go to the SEC. No, you hang in there. You make them pay almost throughout the entire contract. There's been some really good stuff from the Big 12. I did a little study on my Twitter account about pride in the league. Got a lot of responses, a lot of votes, over 700 votes. I'm going to tell you about that next.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
There's still 11 hours on this poll that I threw up last night. I'm sorry, I didn't vomit it. posted it on X. And it was pretty simple. Do you have pride in the Big 12? What do you think the percentages are? Because the answers that I put up were yes or no. Garrett?
I mean, gosh, you would have had a very different response.
That's why I did it.
Pretty much any time in the last, however. Right now feels good. So, yeah, I would have to say yes. I mean, I think I would have always said yes. Just because of the role you've played in it and the impact that the league has had on the sports landscape, period, not just in football, but the way it was handled under Beebe and particularly under Beebe, but even after Beebe, what was that? I've waxed that guy from my memory. I'm seeing his...
Bob Bowlesby?
Yes, I'm seeing Bowlesby's boring face, which I not wanted to comment probably, but still, both of those guys, it just felt like they were puppets for two things. The University of Texas and bad officiating. And that's about all I could say about what contributions they made to anything that was going on. And that's where I'd say, you know, maybe no pride in the fact that you felt like you were frequently one of the many who were just getting the cheap shots, I guess, of what the conference was up to. And quite frankly, that's why Nebraska left. That's why A&M left. They didn't want to be subjected to that nonsense. Yep. And so in that way...
Boy, Nebraska paid a price.
Yeah, well, and you know, I mean, I think even...
Just basically taking their state and sealing it off where they were able to penetrate deep into the heart of Texas to get some of their best players of all time, and especially their depth. Now, all of a sudden, that road ended at about Wichita. I mean, they couldn't – they just totally cut that pipeline off.
Yeah, yeah. And that's – well, I mean, so many aspects of it I think were questionable in that deal. But bottom line is I understand the sentiment of feeling like you're just on the bad side of things. So, yeah, you're proud to be a part of the Big 12, but yet the Big 12 really ticks you off. And the way it's being run ticks you off. And so, honestly, I would say the yeses are probably going to be even larger an uptick because the pain in the rears are leaving. The big bad boys that, I mean, yeah, you get fired up to beat them, and them being in your conference adds a whole lot of juice to those matchups. However, you know what, that whole underdog mentality, and this, I know people hate this, but the SEC kind of camaraderie of we hate each other, but yet we're all together.
Yes.
I think you can have that in this conference now in a way that you didn't before, where it's us against the world. You know, we're going to try to kill each other all year long, but yet we are the Big 12, and we are proud of what we're, and honestly, there's a lot of juice added to that because the schools coming in are fired up about being a part of it.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think there's any question. There's not one of those fan bases that's going, yeah, this is how we're getting into the Power Five.
Jumping for joy.
Underdog mentality is kind of shared amongst everyone that's here now. Certainly, those group of five schools are bringing those chips on their shoulder with them anyway, and now they just get to keep doing that within this conference, I would argue. So, well, yes, my answer is yes.
Well, the percentages are out of this world in this little poll that I put up. I can't believe I got 706 votes. That's a lot for my account. 92.4% say yes. So 7.6% say no. Blaze said, incredible pride for the conference as a whole right now. I think Big 12 athletics are going to be far more interesting and in the conversation than people realize. Alan said, 2 years ago, the conference seemed dead. The universities and the leadership have made the exact right moves ever since. Brett Yormark has more leadership in his pinky finger than Larry Scott and George Kliavkov have in their entire bodies. The trolling tortilla says the 7% that voted no are all salty Longhorn fans. Big 12 is unique in its approach in college environments. They're feisty, hungry, and innovative while having financial resources. They aren't polished like the Big 10 and the SEC, who are big, predictable, and professional. That is from a Texas Tech fan. I thought it was a Colorado fan at first. Pre-2021, not at all. Post 2021, 100%. And then Pat says, I have pride in the Big 12, but I also hate my Big 12 rivals. It's a balance. I'm with you. I'm like, so for my life, and I've said this, and I kind of speaking from the Oklahoma State angle, 90% of the hatred was reserved for OU. And then the other 10% was reserved for Texas. So what do you do now? But that also takes away your angst. And now you're looking around the conference with a bunch of dudes you like. A bunch of athletic programs that you're a lot like.
Well, and if nothing else, if you talk about, like, you look at this, like the history of the world when people talk about millions of years or whatever. I don't know what the science is on all that nonsense. But you bridge the gap for two different groups of schools. And really, the Southwest Conference groups, pretty much just Tech and Baylor now. But you bridge the gap, well, TCU, you bridge the gap between Houston. The Southwest Conference to now and the Big Eight to now. Mm-hmm. And all those really intense, very decade-long rivalries that existed before you and I were around.
Born.
Were maintained and kind of got you here. But now you've got that. There's another layer. Yes, no one I dislike more than University of Texas, which, by the way, my daughter went on a visit there last week, brought back a shirt she wanted me to wear that I refused to wear. We may have to get into that. I don't know. It's just,
I'd love to get into
that. We got family
that.
Issues right now. I told her not to do it. I'm not going to wear it, and now my wife and my daughter are mad at me. Anyway, it's a very difficult moment here for me.
Wife and daughter don't get it. Sorry.
No, well, and that's the deal. I'm just ain't doing it. Call me prideful, whatever. I'm not doing it. But I love my daughter, and I hope she makes a good decision, but I'm not wearing that shirt. So the fact is, though, that, like, there's not a school in the Big Ten. Like, I would say Oklahoma State, Kansas State, the two schools that feel the most like Tech.
Uh-huh.
Like, where I say, you're like us.
Yes.
But
trade the cotton for the wheat.
But, I mean, Oklahoma State, in pretty much football, probably the least, but certainly in basketball and baseball, like, when OSU comes in here and wins a baseball game at Dan Law Field, like it,
when, it when even was the in last my time that happened?
40, it happened, oh, this that, year. Happened this past year. Watch it.
Oh,
watch it, Axton. I mean, it got in my craw. Like, we were walking out, uh-huh. And I'm telling my son, God, I hate losing to these guys. Uh-huh. Like, I can't stand
a lot of that from the regional.
Losing. Oh, well, and that
super
was
regional.
That was an epic. But I mean, those sorts of moments, the super regional, which wasn't even conference affiliated technically, but just. Those sorts of moments are littered through your history of 25, whatever we are now, yeah, 27 years,
yeah,
of this conference, that there's something like that with every school. If you're a big fan and if you've been invested, there's not a school that you don't have that. I mean, crud, I still think about Seneca Wallace and want to throw up all over myself.
Iowa State.
And that I mean, there's not a Tech fan from the 90s who doesn't. Early 2000s, I guess it was early 2000s, wasn't it? That doesn't, yes, have that, because I was in college at that point watching in the dorm with my buddies, and we're just, I mean, those moments, like, still stick in
your
craw.
I'm looking forward to hating other people now.
Well,
like, I'll find a way. I mean, I don't like TCU, but there's no hatred. I find that there's a lot of Texas Tech hatred for TCU, there but is. I never had that. You know, when we're talking about the double T, the three-dimensional versus the flat, I'm on the new one side because I don't have that attachment to the retro double T, and Chris Beard likes it a lot, so screw it. This is the way I feel about that. So
he doesn't get a vote anymore, Hacks, so
thank God.
You can let go of that connection.
It's hard for me to let go of stuff, man. I established that again this week. Oh my gosh.
The long term impact, though, of repeatedly playing somebody, that's the only thing I dislike about getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Makes it harder and harder to have those annual moments where
my
you have
hatred
those matchups.
Of OU has made up such a huge portion of my life. It is really, I've been blinded by that hatred for so long, and it's about to come to a place where it just gets taken away. What am I going to do with myself? You know, I'm still going to hate him. I'm still going to root against him, but.
Just fixate on BYU.
I hate the Cougars. There you both go. Of them. I'm going to be again anti-Cougars what I'm going to be. We got a lot to catch up on. We'll do it next.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
just a really interesting time in the sports landscape. Usually not a ton going on in July, although July is almost in the books. And August to me means get your football ready. This is pretty funny, a meme here. Who will the Big 12 give her rose to next in this week's episode of Conference Realignment? It's got the young lady in her dress with the Big 12 logo on her. And then standing there at attention is Arizona, Oregon, Washington, Washington State, Cal, Stanford, blah, 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 blah. On who's going to get that next rose, the invite. This is, let's see, who, I'm gonna find out who this guy is. Okay, this guy, this, wow, this guy. Have you ever heard of Craig Miller?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's working. Okay, he's over at the Ticket. Okay. Sorry, I do not know my DFW sports media landscape. I never have, never will. But he's got 183.6 thousand followers. He says, my Pac-12 source says Oregon is leaving and possibly, probably to the Big 12. Nothing confirmed yet, but stay tuned. Would be massive for the Big 12 as Oregon is the biggest brand remaining in the Pac-12 and would be a crippling blow to that conference. That's word for word on Craig Miller's tweet. That's what I've been talking about, where I haven't spent time addressing the exact rumors, but there's an exact rumor on the Twitter machine this morning. So take that with whatever you will.
I think you may be being pawned here a little bit.
Pawned?
P-A-W-N. Just because... You know, I mean, I think ultimately Oregon would love to go to the Big Ten.
Sure.
And I think maybe
I got what you're saying now. They're trying to. I was.
No.
It's like, who's pawning me?
No. The Big 12 is being used.
Pwned.
To, well, that would be when it actually happens.
And now you have been pwned.
but I think the, certainly some leverage in, hey, like, if we lock ourselves in over here. You know, if you want us, you better strike now. And I kind of think the Big Ten's probably going, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
We're at 16 and we're fine.
It is crazy, just crazy. Again, if you follow the whole line of realignment and all the things that have come with it and how we felt so many times, like death cometh for, you remember when Kirby had the press conference after OU and Texas decided they were going to leave. He had the press conference talking about how devastating it was going to be to the economy for Lubbock and Texas Tech as a whole. That was just for OU and Texas leaving. I mean, we've had three other situations where, hey, by tomorrow, you're not going to have a conference to be in, you know, or by this next season, by next fall, by next summer, you are going to be in the Mountain West.
Well, it was pretty bleak.
Now it's nice to come to work with a sense of confidence a little bit. And I don't wish any of those folks like ill will. I mean, Choice has been wanting to take down the Pac-12. That's been one of his things. Like, because of the way that they treated the Big 12 and the member institutions when they were at their most desperate, he wants them to dissipate, to fall apart. I don't have that feeling, and I haven't. There's a place on the West Coast. Already, if you draw a line right down the middle, if you draw a line to I-35 from Canada to Mexico, right through the middle of the country, 70% of the schools are on the right side. Like, we're in the minority as far as the Western region with just institutions in the FCS, FBS.
Yes, right. Geographically, you're spread pretty thin west of the Mississippi.
So there's a place for these people.
Certainly and, west of I-35, yeah.
Yeah, I just, it's a weird deal. It's just, that's all I can say. It's just weird.
I still, you know, you take the remnants of what's left. If the top tier of the Pac-12 in terms of, you know, eyeball grabbers comes to the Big 12, you would still have a significant conference of what's left in Arizona, Utah, the Eastern Oregon and Washington schools. Cal and Stanford, I really don't know what they do, because I could very much see them going the way of, you know what, forget it. We're just going to be really great in swimming and diving and tennis and golf and whatever.
Sure.
Who cares? Rowing.
You Some know, of those sports that they eliminated ribbon during COVID.
Ribbon waving, ribbon dance, I don't know.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
There you go. They will water polo. I could see them.
Don't forget,
you know,
Will Ferrell's success in old school with the ribbon.
That's going to be interesting to me, because I truly could see them just sort of punting on the deal. But you take them and you take the top end of the Mountain West, and you'd have a wedge between the Group of Five and the Power Five. To me, they would be, or power whatever's left, Power Four, I guess. They would be a tier above everybody else in the Group of Five, pretty clearly and pretty handily. And if Tech had fallen into that, it would not be fun, but it would be. It would still have, I think, a little bit of this vibe of what you now have still in the Big 12, that underdog, you know what, come on, let's go. You think we're all the stepbrother of the Power Five, come play us. I think there would be an element of that in that conference that you could have been, you know, a front runner in, and it would, I don't know, that would have played out sadly still, but I think there would have been an avenue in which you might still get kind of fired up at some point about whatever was created out of that. Very similar schools to you, I think, in a lot of ways, if that had happened. Now, I'm pretty comfortable at this point that won't happen anytime soon.
Yeah. From the Yay Exploring Center chat line, El Jefe says, LOL at Lucas being a one-team fan.
It's okay.
Isn't the real prize that you earned Hax's respect with 9 out of 10 and don't have to go eat chili dogs with him at lunch?
I'm a fan of the chili dog. I just don't like the song that won't let my brain turn it off.
You're lucky we're at where we're at in this segment. How about a statue for Swoops outside the USA?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. For sure, more her more than anybody else. I mean, there's nobody that is more individually iconic for what they did than her. Because you could, I mean, I was a guy that I look back and I think this is probably overkill, but at one point I said you should retire both number 12s. Goot for sure. And then even Keenan Evans, I felt like had been, now you did more after him than you could see coming, but I felt like his centerpiece of bringing Tech back from the dead, he had help, but through Tubby and then on to Beard was significant. But that's a stretch. He's certainly not getting a statue, but I love the guy.
I remember the first time I ever saw Brian Berg over at the USA. First time I ever laid eyes on him, and Level was there with me, kind of showing me around. I was heading into my first year. I didn't even know the personnel yet. And they started talking about most important players. He said, Keenan Evans, by far, our most important player. And he was definitely right in that aspect, that's for sure.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Is the final segment of the week here with myself, Jeff Haxton, and Garrett Luft, Lucas White, our producer over across the way, behind the glass, as they say. So get your questions in. Yates Flooring Center chat line, and we'll take those and answer those. So here's one right here. User Tweepe, always good for a question. Bench warmers, over under 2 weeks before another school is added to the Big 12. Take it, Luft.
And right now you kind of feel like it'd be under.
I definitely feel under.
Because what's the drop dead date for a Pac-12 school before they get caught in the lurch between whatever media rights deal Kolevaikov makes up, and you know, I don't know, I mean of course Colorado just jumped a shark and did it, but I wonder about other schools. Like, not the negotiating has to be happening right now. Like, what do you really have? Tell me what you've got. But you know, I don't know what's better for an Oregon and a Washington, riding out the string and waiting on the Big Ten, or just jumping ship and going to the Big 12. If I'm them, I'm not sure that I'm in a hurry, but I think someone will pull the trigger on making a move between the Arizona schools, Utah, and the Pacific Northwest schools. I think sooner than later, somebody in the next 2 weeks.
This is a headline from the LA Times. Oregon and Washington, if they'd rather pray for a Big Ten invite, which probably won't come, in a rejuvenated conference with leaders who are not afraid to fight for their future, then they'll head for the Big 12 too. It's a headline from the LA Times. Jeff McGuire just retweeted it. So just trying to get a little bit of perspective from outside of our realm. Also, there's talk getting bounced around about SMU and West Virginia as potential ads for the ACC. And West Virginia fans, not unanimously, but a majority of them coming back at this headline saying, we're happy where we're at.
I would think that right now you'd have to feel that way, because the ACC's long-term deal at one time looked like, hey, you're solid, you're good. But it feels like they are the next Pac-12 in terms of everyone there is kind of looking for a way out. I mean, more than not, but 2036, right? That's how long they're stuck?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how that would...
It's a long time. I'm not exactly sure about
that. But I still would argue, though, that I do think that if you can give Pitt to them annually, you know, Virginia Tech, Virginia. I do think there's certainly an avenue in which they could find themselves happy over there, and that's why I think it's important that, you know, the Big 12 not just focused west
yeah.
with expansion.
Yeah.
Give them a little more, and you know, if they're going to play somebody, say, home and home in basketball in a new setup, whatever it may become, you know, that would make everything easier for them to have one more east side of the country school.
Why do you think I want the backyard brawl and not the holy war? Is it... I've developed a little... It's not hatred, but it's just a dislike for Utah overall, the Utes. I don't know. I couldn't really tell you what... I mean, I don't like Salt Lake City very much. I said that yesterday.
I don't.
Said you wanted it. Why?
I just think bringing that rivalry into the conference is good.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Do you need Utah to capture a geography? No. You've got that with
you're
BYU.
Still trying to get into the Pacific.
And you also, you know, I mean, you've cap. And I think that was probably should have been done earlier than not. Adding, I think you could have added BYU when you added West Virginia and probably got more bang for your buck at that time because of just the national connection mm-hmm. of crud, the Mormon church across the board. that's a huge piece that you've added to your conference that turns on TVs all over America. But ultimately, I think that rivalry would be good. And I think Utah's created a brand that is prominent. I mean, they've been more relevant in the last 5 years than just about the entire rest of the Pac-12. They've been right there in the thick of it year after year, not every other year. They certainly have benefited from the jump far more than Colorado did, and taken advantage of it far more than Colorado did.
User OWUM has a problem with your confidence on the K-State Wildcat front. He posts the recent loss, Manhattan 37-28, loss, Lubbock, Texas 25-24. Lost Manhattan 31-21. Lost Lubbock 30-27. Lost Manhattan 21-6. Lost Lubbock 42-35. Says they haven't won at home or on the road since 2015, and after we hadn't beat them since 2009. There's every bit of cause for fear. Your response?
I don't disagree, but I just think that there's nothing about Kansas State that separates them from anybody immediately. What they do so well is just slow and steady consistency. But there's been moments in that era of slow and steady consistency where you have, now it's been a while, but where you have lit them up like a Christmas tree in years that they were still pretty good and winning one touchdown games against a lot of people where you beat them by four touchdowns. I just think things could go your way against them this year.
It's time.
And it's due. It's due. So you get Kitley's offense rolling.
You know, I remember Jet Duffy playing on a broken foot when they didn't bring the heaters up to Manhattan. That's one that just stands out to me.
Well, I mean, that
they just froze on the sidelines and had Duffy with a fractured ankle playing.
And that last year, I mean, that was such, you had two wins to become bowl eligible against a not a great Baylor team and K-State, and you couldn't create enough mojo to win either of those games, and that was a horrible ending to that year. And I would compare that game very similar to the one in Ames this past year. Like it was terrible football game, freezing cold, not a lot of excitement from either group really about playing the game, but Cliff's team showed no desire to try, and you had the injury bug anyway. This team found a way to win in Ames in one of the worst football games that I can remember being played in Tech recent history.
So a lot of people have said, why would you take Colorado? No good team. They win one or two games a year. Front Office Sports has this on Twitter. Colorado football went 1-11 last season. Changes since. Hired Deion Sanders, 700% spike in merch sales, 722% growth in Instagram followers, sold out the spring game, the only spring game to air on ESPN, sold out two home games for the upcoming year and voted themselves to rejoin the Big 12. It could be a brilliant ad if Colorado gets back to its competitive self, which they really haven't been. Again, they had a bowl. It wasn't too long ago, but the next year the coach got fired. But that's just showing some positive mojo there for Colorado.
I mean, it's definitely true. I don't know how long-lived it will be. I don't see Deion hanging out in Boulder for an extended period of time.
Well, what do you see then?
I think the first chance he gets to move to the ACC or the SEC, which will probably come if he's successful, he will go. Now, that said, getting a foothold or a tie back into the state of Texas conference-wise might be a little more intriguing to his place there. But, I mean, does Boulder, Colorado really feel like a place Deion wants to hang out full-time? Plus, the dude, like, I mean, how much has happened to him in the last year? Did they amputate a foot or a leg? Or I mean,
got close. You
know, all kinds of crazy stuff.
There's been two guys that you were really worried for in this entertainment coaching realm, and it was Jamie Foxx. Headlines told us that Jamie Foxx was not going to make it. He was done. Well, he did an interview yesterday. He's okay. He's back. Now, he said he went to hell and back, but he's back. And then we heard Deion might have his foot amputated because of circulation issues. That hasn't happened. So I'm glad that rumors there
were
incorrect.
I can't imagine that he wants to hang out long-term in snowy, wintry Boulder, Colorado.
I feel differently.
Oh, you can't.
It's a great place for him to launch himself. And I understand like Florida State or some perfect job comes along.
But Norvell's pulled himself into a legit spot there. That
yes.
Feels like he's back in the discussion for, hey, they might be a playoff team this year.
Maybe. Loved it. Was fun.
Enjoyed it.
Now we got to leave you with this. The last two words on the chat line right now, joy kill. Perfect way to get out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bottom line coming up next.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.